Good morning, and welcome to this service of worship at Prairie Street Mennonite Church, this fifth day of August, 2018. Whether you are among those of us who are gathered at 1316 Prairie Street or are listening via podcast, you are very welcome. A special welcome to the visitors among us, and we see a few familiar faces from a number of years ago. Welcome. Kyle Weirich is our song leader this morning, and our first song is in the blue folder, Prairie Street Sings, number 74. Please stand if you are able. Call to worship is Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. Let's pray. Faithful God, we rejoice in your goodness to us. You are our strength, a constant presence on our journey through life. Thank you for your many blessings to us, the sun to warm us, the rain to cause the crops to grow so that we are fed. Thank you for shelter, for friends and family who care for us, for plentiful material blessings. Help us to happily share our bounty with our neighbors, both at home and abroad, who are less fortunate. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please turn to number 14 in the blue hymnal, Come We That Love the Lord. And if you are able, please stand.
And in the green, sing the journey book. Number 14, Lord Jesus, You Shall Be My Song. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4.
Thank you.
For our time of confession, we will read number 128 in the same book, The Green Sing the Journey. Number 128. Please read slowly and prayerfully. God of the weak and the wounded, grant us your forgiveness. We have been heedless in our thoughts, cruel in our words, shameful in our actions. We are indifferent to a world made sad by want and wastefulness. We pass by on the other side when we see our neighbor in need. We wander from the way that leads to peace in paths of our own choosing. God of the weak and wounded, grant us your forgiveness. Amen. Please stand to receive these words of assurance. Sisters and brothers, God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, forgives our sins, empowers us to overcome our indifference to both the poverty and the wastefulness in our world, and blesses us with the grace to live in peace with all of creation. Let us now share the peace of Christ with each other and the world, saying, "The peace of Christ be with you," and responding,
"And also with you."
It's the first Sunday of the month, and so we use this Sunday to bless folks who have a birthday in the month of August, or a special anniversary of some important event in their life. So I invite those August birthday people, and I invite my husband forward. All right, do we have a day that we should particularly remember here, a birthday? Okay, I hear from the peanut gallery, Mary LaCour is 85. Congratulations, Mary, for vigorous 85.
And the 64th anniversary of our marriage.
Oh, wow. And in the back is Olive Grace, and she's 95 this month.
Wow. Go ahead. We have a wedding anniversary on the 31st of August. It will be the 55th.
And who do we have?
Junia.
Hi, Junia. How old?
Seven.
7 years for wow. Junia. Wow. And I called my good husband because it is 40 years next weekend of marital bliss. So we invite you to extend your hands in blessing. Lord, we do journey through years, and sometimes the journey is hard, and sometimes the journey has joy, but we are stronger because we journey together and bless each other. So for everything that we carry that needs your touch of healing, we open ourselves, and we give thanks for those good things and look to the year ahead to be one that we are carried with you and we walk with our friends and family and we walk in trust. Amen. And we have an extra blessing today. Leo Rodriguez has agreed to be our elder, and Leo and Carl will come up now for the commissioning. You have a small portion in your bulletin. If you open up right above the announcements, Carl will cue you to when you have a portion. Did you want to be up there?
Why don't we go? Sisters and brothers, we have gathered here in the presence of God and this assembly to commission Leo as an elder in this congregation. Who presents Leo for this commissioning? In commending Leo for ministry, will you also uphold Leo?
We stand by Leo in his calling.
Leo, do you renew your baptismal vows, claiming Christ's grace, offering Christ your obedience?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe this calling and your acceptance of it to be in response to the leading of the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I do.
Will you trust in God's care, keep a discipline of scripture study, strive to grow in love for those you serve, and seek to follow the gospel you profess with a godly life?
I will.
Sisters and brothers, you have heard the commitment to ministry made by Leo. Do you receive Leo as an elder in this congregation? If so, answer, we do. Holy God, your love for us was so great that Christ emptied himself of his equality with you, taking the form of a slave. Grant Leo the mind of Christ. Grant her or him a share in Christ's ministry. Pour out your Holy Spirit on Leo so that he might be given all the gifts needed to be a faithful elder. Now may the great God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you complete in everything good, so that you may do God's will, working among us that which is pleasing in God's sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. And all of God's people say, Amen. Leo, you are commissioned as an elder in this congregation in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Receive and give counsel. Help us grow in mission. Build the unity of the church. Speak the truth in love. Be a person of prayer and scripture. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Children, where are you? Come on up and Lois will lead you.
Welcome. Welcome to all of you. Do you want to bless the basket? If you have something to put in it, fine. If not, just touch it and bless it. Now, you just saw Leo up here on the platform with Carl, and he is commissioned to be our elder, one of our elders. We have four elders, actually. I am also an elder. But there are two other people who are. They're not here today. Anna Ruth is in the Congo right now. And Dorothy couldn't come today for some reason. Does anybody know what elders do? Have you seen them do anything at church? Sometimes they will take the mic around for sharing time so that people can speak into the mic and share what they have to say. Sometimes they will stand up front and pray for people. If there's people that are sick or too old to come to church, they visit them. They also help the pastors in various tasks. Okay, I just wanted to let you know a little bit what elders do. And now we have a job to do, don't we? We need to go out the back door and find that big Bible and bring it up for our service. Okay, let's go.
The scripture this morning is from the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 and 5 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "My servant Moses is dead. Now proceed to cross the Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the Israelites. No one shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you."
La escritura es Josué 1, del 1 al 9. Después de la muerte de Moisés, el siervo del Señor, habló el Señor con Josué, hijo de Nun, que era siervo de Moisés, y le dijo, "Moisés, que fue mi siervo, ha muerto. De ahora en adelante, tú estarás al frente del pueblo. Crucen ahora juntos el Jordán, este pueblo y tú, y vayan a la tierra que voy a darles a los hijos de Israel."
"Be strong and courageous, for you shall put this people in possession of the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to act in accordance with all the law that my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, so that you may be successful wherever you go."
"Esfuérzate y sé valiente, porque tú serás quien reparta a este pueblo, como herencia, la tierra que juré a sus padres que les daría. Pero tienes que esforzarte y ser muy valiente. Pon mucho cuidado y actúa de acuerdo con las leyes que te dio mi siervo Moisés. Nunca te apartes de ellas, ni a la derecha ni a la izquierda. Así tendrás éxito en todo lo que emprendas."
"This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to act in accordance with all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall be successful. I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go."
"Procura que nunca se aparte de tus labios este libro de la ley. Medita en el día y de noche, para que actúes de acuerdo con todo lo que está escrito en él. Así harás que prospere tu camino, y todo le saldrá bien. Escucha lo que te mando, esfuérzate y sé valiente. No temas ni desmayes, que yo soy el Señor tu Dios, y estaré contigo por donde quiera que vayas."
The word of the Lord.
Palabra del Señor.
Our preacher this morning is our transitional pastor, Steve Thomas. Please pray with me. May the words of Steve's mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
As I mentioned in my last message several weeks ago, we're on a journey. And I join you for a journey on this transition stage in the life and the work of Prairie Street Mennonite Church. This morning I'd like to address three questions. Where are we? What's it going to take to make the journey? And what's our roadmap? First question, where are we? We are on a transition in our journey. We're located in between two places. On our refrigerator at Pathways Retreat, someone made a sign years ago that apparently continues to speak to a variety of people who on their spiritual journey often come to the refrigerator at Pathways Retreat. And this is what this journey of message has, that transitions have three movements. There's an ending, saying goodbye, an in-between phase, what was gone, not sure what will be, and a new beginning. We're in a time of being in between two places, and this in-between space carries with it lots of uncertainty, a certain measure of anxiety. And so it's important to kind of locate where we are. A couple of years ago, when I was making my annual tree pilgrimage, this time going to the Shulman Grove of the Great Basin Bristlecone Pine in Southern California, these trees that are 5,200 years old, I passed through Death Valley on the way. And as I was making my way through Death Valley, at this place on the highway, I just had to stop. This image seemed like what I've seen in Palestine. And I was impressed, or rather Egypt, it was impressed with this image of a road winding through the wilderness. It's hard to see, but in the upper left-hand corner, above this one peak, you can see in the distance this very faint line that leads out of this lowest place in Death Valley. The day that I was there was 122 degrees, through this barren space, a difficult place to be, and this has become for me an image for our transitions in life, making our way through the wilderness. Last time, I referred to us being on a journey, much like that of Israel through the wilderness, where we read again at different places how God leads them along the way, stage by stage. And as we read in Exodus 13:8, and God leads them on a roundabout way. This image for me is that roundabout way through the wilderness that has movement towards something that we can't quite see at this point. Individually, we face experiences of transitions. After graduation, between jobs, in the midst of crises. For example, in my own family this past week, I witnessed a number of transitions. At my son's wedding last weekend, which in itself is a transition, I saw my father continuing to struggle with grief with my mom's death, this being the first wedding of a grandchild. This last week when I was with my father-in-law at Courtyard, as he is rapidly declining, his dementia is increasing, finding himself in transition from once a very active life, now confined to a wheelchair, and all of the difficulties that presents as he's awaiting death. We received word this morning that our son, Jeremy, and his new wife, Chelsea, who are in Bali, Indonesia, we received word this morning of a magnitude 7 earthquake, a very frightening experience in having to move from one place to another with the issue of a tsunami warning. Or I think of my daughter who went back to Durham, North Carolina, where she's entering a dual degree program at Duke Divinity School and University of North Carolina, and to witness her excitement kind of leaving Goshen for the land of Durham. So we find ourselves in our individual journeys at different places of being in between. Likewise, as a congregation in our journey, we find ourselves in the space of being in between. We've said goodbye to Nelson as a gifted preacher and a trusted spiritual guide. We have said goodbye, and we have yet to say hello to who will come in the future. We're in this in-between stage. And so also we find ourselves as a church in this in-between stage as things are changing in our larger culture, the way that the church is done, the way that people are present to each other and God in their journey is rapidly changing, and finding ourselves in a larger transition about changes in the church. So next question is, how will we make the journey? In spiritual direction, spiritual directors speak of receptivity. That of not being closed to the presence and action of God in our lives, but of being open, of being receptive, of needing to be open to the change that is before us if we are to proceed. I'd like to have us think of that word open as an acrostic, an O for owning. owning our experience. When we find ourselves in personal or congregational transitions, we can experience a variety of emotions. Last week, in preparation for my son's wedding engagement with Linda, we focused on what we wish we were told 35 years ago but weren't when we joined our lives in marriage. And so out of curiosity, we found the cassette tape and had to look for a cassette tape player to play our wedding tape, the first we've ever listened to it since we were married 35 years ago. And when I heard the voice of my pastor, and I feel it now, I nearly cried. Bob Detweiler at College Mennonite Church is who dedicated me as a child and would later baptize me, marry me, and preach my ordination sermon and called me into ministry where we worked together. The spiritual father, my pastor, was my trusted guide along the way, and when I heard his voice, it brought back a certain sadness. So that of grief is something that is familiar. Or last week, after the wedding, we were celebrating the reception while everyone else was celebrating with great joy. Something triggered within me a very deep, dark, foul spirit of depression just came out of the blue, and I found myself really overtaken and really struggling to enter into this experience of transition, of experiencing the high point of kind of joy and excitement on one hand, but something else going on deep within me and need now to kind of live with that and make sense out of it. Well, likewise for God's people in the wilderness, we read when Moses died, the Israelites wept for Moses for 30 days. I think of the prescription for grief in the book of Sirach, which I love. In chapter 38, we read this prescription. Let your weeping be bitter. Make your mourning worthy of the departed. Then be comforted for your grief. If there is a place when we suffer losses, whether it's a spouse, a partner, a pastor, to need to experience that grief, that's part of that healing process. Likewise, we've not only experienced a sadness, but we may experience anxiety in the journey as we face an uncertain future. As I'm listening in my conversations with you, as you look forward, I hear a certain anxiety about what the journey will bring for Prairie Street's future. That Prairie Street, like most churches, is experiencing decline in numbers of participation and contributions, raising the question, what's this mean? This uncertainty and some of the anxiety around it. Likewise, with the Israelites, they faced their sadness with the loss of Moses, but they faced a certain anxiety, if not outright fear, in their transition. We read in Joshua 1 how they were called to move from their current camp to proceed across the Jordan into the land. Only there's one huge problem. The land is already inhabited, and armed residents usually don't share their land so well, as we witness in our own country. God's people, in their transition, are naturally afraid and about to be overtaken with fear for what awaits them. And here's God's word that comes through Joshua to the Israelites. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for God is with you. And so the call is for us to own our anxiety as well as our sadness and to claim the sense that God is with us in our journey. Though God's presence may seem to go undetected, as it did for some of the experience of Israelites in the wilderness, to have that foundational trust that God is present and that God is guiding along the way. Anger is also another emotion that we might need to experience in our transition. And anger, for me, is a secondary emotion that becomes a mask for a deeper sadness or a fear. And anger is often triggered in times of transitions. Transitional ministers like myself become convenient scapegoats for the congregation's kind of emotions. And so people like to place their fear and their anger on transitional pastors. I've experienced this. Sometimes people in congregations view transitional ministers having horns upon which they can hang their difficult emotions. So just heads up, if you find yourself experiencing some different emotions, own these. And if you want to project some on me, I'll understand what it's about. I'm aware of one congregation in Ohio that its transitional pastor received a letter with a box, and inside the box was a hangman's noose. That this member was so troubled, and it was a very threatening letter requiring a police intervention in this small Mennonite community. So please, let's own our emotions and managing them well so I can have a more comfortable time with you in the journey. So O is for owning our experience, and there's also a P for perspective taking. That's real important in our life experience when we're going through something difficult to pay attention to what we focus on. This, as is commonly recognized in this model of appreciative inquiry, which I draw in my work, what we focus on becomes our reality. So be careful about what we focus on. We can naturally experience hard things within our transitions, and along with that, difficult emotions, and those can overtake them, as I know in my own experience. For example, a few years ago, a major windstorm in Goshen took out four large trees in my backyard. That, for me, was devastating. It changed the landscape of the back of our place. I was so upset that I about broke down and cried until Linda helped to reframe the situation and helped me take perspective. And to rather than seeing this as a problem, to see it as an opportunity to plant the trees I wish were there rather than my Norway maple, my silver maple that I wanted to take down. This is an opportunity, the hand of God, by this powerful wind, simply wiped the slate clean. And now I can paint on this empty canvas with the shrubs and trees that I want. It's that simple perspective taking and reframing what would appear to be a devastating loss to a new opportunity for something new, but transform my sadness into excitement. Likewise, in Deuteronomy, we see Moses helping people take perspective. As they're making their way through the wilderness and experiencing very difficult things, Moses is calling the people to look back and take perspective to recognize God's presence of provision. We read, "You have seen all that God did before your eyes in the land of Egypt." And then looking ahead from Mount Nebo, focusing on what lies on the other side of the Jordan, there is the call to remember and to put into perspective God's presence. So that by remembering God's presence with us, we're able to kind of to make those difficult crossings. So when the journey is hard, it can be easy for us, like the Hebrews, to long to go back to the melons and all that we had in Egypt. Never mind that may have been a difficult place, but something that is at least familiar when the call is to move forward. Years ago, Walnut Hill Mennonite Church, where Ben and Yossi are now at, the church burned to the ground the day of my interview. The church had charged a search committee to find a pastor to set the place on fire, but they didn't quite mean that. That was, at first, a devastating loss, to lose everything that the church held dear, especially its banners and artifacts of worship. And the only thing that survived were the coffee mugs, symbolizing the life of community, and the cross of Jesus, the center of our faith. That charred cross continues being in front of the sanctuary. But that became an opportunity to move forward in the journey to do what years of deliberation couldn't do, and that by a fire, God worked. It was especially fortuitous that the day before the fire, our trustee tripled our insurance policy, which made the fire suspicious. But this became an experience of moving from, oh, no, to, oh, yes, for something new that God was about to do. And finally, E is for engaging. How many of you like to watch Star Trek? The Next Generation. What did Captain Picard like to say before they did what on a new mission? Engage. Okay? It's one of my favorite verbs. And I'm hearing that word used with some frequency around here, engage. And it comes from an old Middle English word, French root, which means to pledge something or to pledge oneself to. And so we think about engagement, like with a marital engagement. And we're called, within the scriptures, we listen to the story of Moses and then Joshua calling for a certain engagement with God, to make these pledges, to be faithful to God as God is faithful to us in our journey. And we see in Joshua 24, just before his death, of Joshua recounting all that God has done and then issuing this invitation as they make this journey forward into the promised land to pledge themselves to faithfulness to God, not to depart from one way or another, which leads to and for navigating, that God's word and God's spirit become for us our spiritual GPS, that is God's positioning system, that we listen to that word, and as we heard in our text this morning, that we meditate on that word so that we might locate ourselves on the journey that we're making, that God is guiding us along the way, and we are faithful. And we hear of this word in Deuteronomy 30, that it is not too hard, and this word is not too far away. No, the word is very near you, and with the call that God goes before you. And so the invitation that we read elsewhere is that when you turn to the right and when you turn to the left, your ear shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And so God's word, and from our post-Pentecost experience, the Spirit is here to guide us along the way. And so in our process, we want to listen to the Spirit's guiding. We want to read of how God's word speaks to us, which leads then to finally this question of what's our roadmap? As I come as a transitional pastor, there's no canned program, but rather it's a process that we create where we come and we gather as God's people here at 1316 Prairie Street as this community of faith, not in this desert, but here in this place, to be called by God into something new. And so if you look in your bulletin, you'll find this roadmap. This is simply a proposed tentative sketch. So we're not only locating where we are in the journey and what will it take to make the journey, but here are the steps forward in kind of in a rough way so that we can see in this next year our process. And here in these initial months, beginning the journey where I'm interviewing all of you, and please do sign up for the interviews. I really want to be busy with interviews. This is the most life-giving and kind of exciting part of the work for me, of listening to your story, your experience here at Prairie Street, and what through your experience God may be speaking to the congregation. I'll pull all this together into a report that will come to you, and then we'll process that with what it says. And in the meantime, we'll be telling our story in a series of worship in these next couple of months, reflecting on our experience as a community, our experience of worship, and our experience of being engaged in God's mission. And we'll hear a variety of testimonies allowing this community of faith to talk about its experience of God in these respects. Then November and December, with what we have heard and our storytelling, the timeline that we'll create, the report that we'll read to make sense out of, and to use, let this be a time of discernment that what in this in-between stage is God calling us to focus on? And then to identify what are those tasks, what is it that we need to focus on, and then to form groups around that, to listen to the congregation, to create proposals that in the spring the congregation will have interaction with. And finally, hopefully by the end of May, if we can keep to this tight timeline on this circuitous journey, that by the end of May, hopefully, that we will have taken action on what it is that God is speaking to Prairie Street. And that all will inform a search committee that hopefully can begin in earnest in June. So that's a sketch that I simply offer for us as something of a roadmap. That it's helpful, even though we're unclear, we're uncertain about what this process will hold, at least we can kind of locate ourselves that here are the steps of the journey that we'll make together. And finally, I want to close with these words that I have often returned to, a favorite a prayer or a word from Teilhard de Chardin, the French philosopher, priest, and scientist, who said this, and I offer this word to us, above all, trust in the slow work of God. We are quite naturally impatient in everything to reach the end without delay. We should like to skip the intermediate stages. We are impatient at being on the way to something unknown, something new. And yet it is law of all progress that it is made by passing through some stages of instability and that it may take a very long time. And so it is with you. Your ideas mature gradually. Let them grow. Let them shape themselves without undue haste. Don't try to force them on as though you could be today what time, that is to say, grace and circumstances acting on your own goodwill, will make you tomorrow. Only God can say what this new spirit gradually forming within you will be. Give God the benefit of believing that God's hand is leading you, and accept the anxiety of feeling yourself in suspense and incomplete. May it be so with us at Prairie Street and personally in our journeys. Amen.
Please turn in the green Sing the Journey hymnal to number 105, Don't Be Afraid.